Did you see the story about the most reliable automobiles? The 2020 cars and trucks most likely to hold their value on the used market. I don't know if this is how you shop for a car. Maybe it is. Maybe it is if you're buying a used car. But when you get a car, do you think how long is it going to hold its value if I want to resell it? I guess, if nothing else, that tells you how good a car it's going to be for you. Forget about the next guy. A car that holds its value is also probably not going to break down. So what would you guess would be some of the obvious ones?
Ford Escape.
Hey, Steve just remembered the car he bought. You were talking about cars that you do or don't love. Steve said, I don't even know what I drive. A Ford something. How do you not know what you drive?
It's not something that sticks in my head. I'm sorry.
What would that be? A midsize?
It's like a crossover, right?
Crossover?
I used to have a Mazda Tribute, and that was the Ford Escape was the Tribute, and now they're kind of a little sleeker.
Lots of Hondas on here, by the way. Some Lexi, the Land Rover Range Rover for the premium full-size utility. I thought the thing on Range Rovers was great cars. Everybody wants them. They look awesome. They're really expensive. They break down, and they cost a lot to repair. But this has it on its residual value awards for 2020. Compact car, the Subaru Impreza. I do not see the Toyota there, although I'll bet it does well as well. Compact utility, the Subaru Forester. The electric car, interesting that that's on the list, the ALG Residual Value Awards. The Audi e-tron, the Audi e-tron. Eric Lyman is the chief industry analyst for ALG. It's a subsidiary of True Car. He's on a phone right now. Eric, it's John Williams. You guys put this list together. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So tell me about you guys. Who is True Car?
True Car is a service that brings together buyers and sellers of vehicles and provides some services around the pricing of those vehicles, as well as guaranteed upfront offers on vehicle trade-ins. So we handle all of those aspects of the car buying purchase.
Oh, so you buy cars from people at a set price? Like I look it up and I can get that amount of money?
We do. Well, we provide introductions to dealers, and one of our products is a trade product, so you can take a picture of your license plate or enter your VIN and get an upfront value. You provide some details on the vehicle, and we guarantee the value that we provide you as a trade-in for when we introduce you to that dealer.
And then do you follow those trade-ins? Do you see actually what they get, and is that how you comprise this list?
Well, our list is looking at the values of three-year-old vehicles, new vehicles, and what they're expected to be worth in 3 years. And the main purpose of that is to support the leasing industry. So when you lease a vehicle, you trade in that vehicle back to the financial organization that was funding the lease, and then they have to remarket that car. So the residual value is an integral part of that lease transaction. And we give this award annually at the LA Auto Show, where I'm at today, and to help consumers understand what the best vehicles are that hold their value over the first 3 years of ownership.
So I'm looking at the 2020 Value Awards list. So in other words, are these 2016s for 2019, or are these current cars that in 3 years you expect will hold their value?
The latter. These are 2020 model years that will hold their value the best over the next 3 years. So we're in the ALG division is in the forecasting business, so I'm always living in the future here.
I got it. So what jumps out at you? I said I see Honda pop up here a few times. That's not a surprise. What are some of the headlines from your value awards this year?
Yeah, the interesting thing about Honda, they took over the award from Subaru for this year. Subaru has a few winners too, but nothing like Honda this year. They sort of have great bookends in their product portfolio with the small Honda Fit hatchback taking home an award, and also the biggest vehicle in their lineup, the Honda Pilot, which is the three-row midsize utility vehicle. So they've got a great execution across their portfolio of successful products.
I see a lot of midsize sport utility vehicles with two rows. Everybody's driving one of those not big sport utilities, and it's got two rows of seats. There's some threes, of course, as well. And that would be the midsize utility two rows, and that's the Honda Passport, right?
That is the Honda Passport. That's a new vehicle for Honda. they're responding to the trend of people saying, I love the midsize utility. I don't need the three rows. Give me two rows. Make the vehicle a little tougher. Maybe make it a little more off-road capable. And, you know, there's a new product in the marketplace in the form of those two-row utilities. We also see the Chevrolet Blazer as another new example of that product execution.
By the way, in that category, midsize utility three rows, you like the Honda Pilot. And the minivan, you like the Honda Odyssey. In the pick-em-up truck area, you like for a full-size pickup truck, the GMC Sierra, and the full-size utility truck, the Chevy Tahoe. A lot of those around Chicago, Chevy Tahoes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great to see the domestics. You'd expect them to do well in those big truck categories, and they took home the prize for both the full-size utilities and pickups, as you mentioned. The GMC Sierra has a great new innovation with the tailgate that sort of folds down in a variety of configurations that also is a won an innovation award that we give out annually that recognizes big innovations in the automotive landscape. And we just loved the execution of that tailgate and thought it was worthy of our inaugural award for convenience in the innovation category.
Premium subcompact utility, the Audi Q3, premium compact car, the little cars, the BMW 2 Series. I'm surprised to hear that. I understand the attraction to a BMW. I drove one not that small for a few years and loved it, but I never expected I'd get much money back for that. And you're suggesting that the BMW 2 Series, you're forecasting that will hold its value as much as any of the compact premium cars, huh?
That's correct, yeah. So this has been a new segment that we've seen come around in the last few years, the premium compact luxury vehicles. So the Mercedes A-Class is another example, and the 2 Series is relatively new as well. And, you know, that scarcity in the marketplace, it's basic economics, supply versus demand. If you have a lower supply, you tend to transact at a higher price. Audi Q3 is in the premium subcompact utility segment, which is the first year we have this segment. So that's a emerging classification of cars out there in the marketplace as well. So we're seeing more and more models in the smaller utilities on the luxury side as well.
You made me think about the Toyota Prius just now because I thought that was a good compact car that held its value, but there's so many of them out there that maybe there's a lot of competition if you go to sell it. That's not a knock on the Prius, maybe. It's just supply and demand, right?
Yeah, the Prius is an interesting one. They certainly won the award in the past. They've grown a lot in their volume. And then in the past few years, the core audience, we believe, has sort of migrated into electric vehicles. And so the demand has slipped a little bit on the Prius. And as a result, you know, their values in the marketplace have come down as well. But Toyota has responded, and they have now introduced the RAV4 Hybrid. And actually, just about 30 minutes ago, they unveiled the RAV4 Hybrid plug-in. And so they're taking their hybrid and plug-in technology that they're known for and applying it into the utility segment, which is increasingly popular among consumers. So just like any good company, Toyota is looking at the landscape and making those pivots towards the trends in the marketplace.
On the smallest cars, you also like the subcompact car, the Honda Fit. And as a compact car, the Subaru Impreza, small cars that hold their value, according to you guys. In the electric category, it's the Audi e-tron. I don't know that car, but can you just tell me a little bit about the Audi e-tron?
Sure. The Audi e-tron is one of the first vehicles in the luxury utility space to be offered in that electric powertrain. And what's unique about the e-tron is they don't visually look like a electric vehicle in the way that we've seen many of the past pure electric vehicles. They really stand out as sort of, look at me, I'm an electric car. The Audi e-tron looks like a more traditional Audi sport utility vehicle. It just happens to have the electric powertrain. It gets a little over 200 miles on a charge, so that's more than enough for most consumers on a daily basis. And it's brand new, and that sort of newness in the marketplace is what we believe is going to drive that strong value over the next few years.
Again, you're forecasting cars that will hold their value. You get the car in 2020, 3 years from now, you want to have as much of that value still in the car. which is a way to say it's a good car. It's going to be a good car for you, but also when you go to sell it, the value will be there. And so it's not a Tesla, huh? In the electric category, why did you not pick Tesla?
Well, Teslas do perform great. Now, we are not yet including Tesla in this categorization. They will be eligible next year, but we have some guidelines for manufacturers related to the volume of vehicles they sell. And we actually just saw Tesla hit that threshold for 2019. And, you know, a lot of the conversation around Tesla has pivoted recently from, are they going to be around in the future? Is there a bankruptcy scenario to just what is their opportunity over the long term? And that's exactly why we hold off. So we want to make sure automakers are here to stay, that they're committed to supporting their customer base over the long run and have a business model that's sustainable. Tesla really hit that in this year with their third consecutive year of sales over 50,000 units in the U.S. That's our benchmark. And then going forward, they'll be eligible for these awards. But the Teslas do perform very strongly in the, both the new car transaction price and the used vehicle value. So they definitely would fall into a category of good value for consumers.
One last category then that we didn't talk much about are just midsize and large cars. Can we pick it up here in just a minute? We're visiting with Eric Lyman, chief industry analyst for a subsidiary of ALG. It's called True Car Line. As you can tell, they're in the business of working with dealers in leasing programs. What's the forecast for the value of these cars when somebody goes to trade them back in, say, or finalize their lease a few years down the road? What's the value of that vehicle going to be? These are their best guesses. You've got a question, a comment, 312-981-7200. Eric Lyman's on a phone line. He knows a little bit about money. He's in the, what is it, car finance business? What business are you in, Eric? What do you call it?
We're in the forecasting business for the automotive industry.
No kidding. So you're guessing, you're forecasting based on what you know and what you've seen, what the value of cars, trucks, minivans will be 3 years from now. This is the residual value awards from ALG. Premium midsize car. Premium midsize car, the Lexus RC. Premium full-size car, the Volvo V90. The premium executive car, the Lexus LS. So you like Lexus and those high-end vehicles. What about mid-price full-size vehicles or medium-size vehicles? What about sedans just for average families here?
Yeah, so the full-size in the mainstream market is the Dodge Charger. The Dodge Charger has won this award 6 years in a row, which is pretty astounding. And the unique proposition the Charger brings is there's a very value-oriented price with a very powerful, you know, high-horsepower engine. And that formula has worked well for Dodge for many years. These are great, comfortable cars, maybe not specifically oriented as a, or positioned as a family vehicle, but there's plenty of room for the kids in the back seat. And you can certainly make up time when you're late for soccer practice with all that horsepower under the hood. So as long as you drive safe, you know, you can get there a little bit faster.
Yeah, I don't think of the Charger as a family vehicle, but I guess if you have a Charger and a family vehicle, it becomes that. But I just think of that as a fun car guys like to drive, and other guys will pay good money for it. And then for the family-sized car, the mid-sized car, the Honda Accord, no big shock there, I suppose. That car historically does well, it seems like, on everybody's list.
This is the sort of meat and potatoes of the industry for many, many years is that midsize sedan. So Honda Accord does well. The Subaru Legacy does great. The Toyota Camry does great. Lots of options in this category. But the segment has suffered a bit as more and more consumers are migrating towards trucks and utilities and away from those passenger cars. But the Honda Accord still represents the best of the bunch in terms of future resale value.
Yeah. Somebody asked, how does the Hyundai brand do? I don't see a lot of Hyundai on here, but you've only got one in each category. Do you like Hyundai generally in terms of value down the road?
Hyundai has done a really good job in the last 10 years of overcoming some of their historical issues, especially around perception of quality in the marketplace. So we've seen that consumers are aware of the fact that Hyundai has revolutionized their product and is making really high quality, attractive products. The Hyundai Palisade is a great example of a new product from Hyundai that's doing really well on the TrueCar platform and really doing really well in the marketplace. And so they have improved significantly. No winners this year, but they have won some awards in the past. And I expect them to win some more in the future because they're doing some great things over there.
One last question. Hey, John, there is a life to the Prius battery. How does that affect the value down the road? Yeah, that's a good question. Does it make it less of a valuable or a safe used car buy?
Yeah, we were really worried about that back. I was still at ALG when the Prius launched for the first generation, and we were concerned about the battery. The reality is the automakers have really gone above and beyond with not just Prius, but all EVs. Sort of an 8-year, 100,000-mile warranty is sort of the standard for those batteries. And you still see, you know, 15-year-old Priuses on the road. So yeah. Concerns around the battery. We all have a smartphone. We know what happens to the battery degradation over a few years. But that hasn't really materialized in the automotive landscape. And it's a valid question, but something that we just don't see is having a material impact on the demand and value of electric vehicles or hybrids.
Hey, Kai, jump in there. What was your question for our guest? You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I recently drove a Honda Clarion, and I was very impressed with it. And it's a plug-in, and it's a little bigger than the Honda Accord. I'm sure you're familiar with it. They're very popular out in California because of the emissions control. And they have an 8-gallon fuel tank, which gives it, like, I think 105 combined miles to the gallon. Have you had a chance to review that? And what are your thoughts on that as far as value?
I did. I was fortunate enough to attend the launch of the hydrogen fuel cell version of the Honda Clarity. And I was really impressed with not only the drivetrain of that alternative technology, they also offer it in a pure electric and a hybrid, as you mentioned. They're all great executed products, and they really went above and beyond with the fit and finish and material quality and the cabin experience because there are concerns about those alternative fuel technologies, and they wanted to really drive home value for their customers by adding that premium experience in the cabin to kind of offset some of the concerns they may have had with the lack of demand from the fuel that they were offering, the hydrogen especially. So that's carried into those other electric and plug-in hybrid variants, and it's a great product.
And where can folks look up more on the list? I'm getting more calls and texts than we're going to have time for. Do you have this all published online?
We do at ALG.com. We have a list of the winners. And once you're ready to buy, head on over to TrueCar.com, and we can put you in touch with a dealer and provide an upfront price on not only the vehicle you're looking for, but your trade-in as well. And you can be well-informed and spend less time at the dealership to spend more time at home doing that research in the comfort of your own home.
ALG.com, ALG.com, and TrueCar.com. Yeah, nice to meet with you or talk with you. Good luck, Eric. I appreciate your help on this. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Thank you.